TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Myron on Hoops with Myron Metcalf.
Myron Metcalf, Myron on Hoops here with Manny Hill on another great day here in the glorious state of Minnesota. So James Harden annoys people. And he annoys people because he plays basketball, I think, the right way. You know, and what I mean by that is he's doing the fundamentals. I mean, he's taking a bunch of threes. He's making his free throws.
Mm-hmm.
He's driving to the rim, drawing fouls. Like, he's kind of found the cheat code, if you will, but it's not really a cheat code. It's just smart. If you're like me and I'm 35 and you came up in the 80s and 90s, you fell in love with the 15-footer. Oh, my, Patrick Ewing could hit the 15-footer.
Mid-range, yeah.
Mid-range, Michael Jordan could hit the mid-range. What we didn't know in the 80s and 90s that those were some of the dumbest shots to take. Like, why take a 17-footer when you can step back a few feet and make it count for three? It's amazing that all of our great jump shooters weren't better three-point shooters. Because they could have been,
mm-hmm,
had they just stepped back a few feet. So now you have a guy in James Harden who refuses to take mid-range shots that the analytics say are bad shots. He takes all threes. He tries to get to the free throw line. Now the boy moonwalks. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many steps you allow. I mean, he does. I saw him do the electric slide before a shot one time this season.
Yes.
And I said, wait a minute, nobody's going to call that. So James gets away with a lot.
I love the old video of, I think it was like Team USA practice or something. Yeah. Russell Westbrook did it, his former OKC teammate. Yeah. Does like, he takes like 12 steps backwards and then shoots the three or whatever, making fun of James Harden. It was funny.
Because James gets away with about six of those a game.
Yep.
But he has found the cheat code, and the Rockets have as well. Because the NBA now is a place where teams aren't winning by playing through the post. Like, the era of the ISO post touch is so dead. Like, the era of you're going to win building around a one-dimensional post guy, over. Now, the Timberwolves have a guy in Karl Towns who is versatile. And I think we'll continue to become more versatile going forward. But I don't understand the makeup of this team going forward. And when you talk about whether or not this team should sell before the deadline, you know, or buy, I don't know that you can buy or sell and change the makeup of this team in terms of how it relates to how the NBA is changing. The Rockets are a team that can stretch the floor. You know, guys like PJ Tucker. It's all about versatility and spacing. The Golden State Warriors have obviously perfected that. The Lakers got LeBron James for that reason. We're in a league where it's just difficult to have players who aren't as versatile. And I think Derrick Rose is, you know, gave himself a contract going forward. He's helped himself make some money going forward with what he's been able to do. But does that fit with a limited Wiggins and a Karl Towns who's trying to expand his role in terms of the kind of player he is? Do they have the, not players, but right structure? Like, do you have the guys who can play in today's NBA, mm-hmm, and win? Because I think that's the bigger question. Karl Towns is a great young player, and he's going to keep being great. Andrew Wiggins is Andrew Wiggins. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I think we're out of things to say, right, about Andrew Wiggins at this point.
Because there's no Manny, you don't expect him to come back from the summer, from the offseason, and he's a different guy, do you? I mean, there's no.
I mean, the problem with Andrew is that we have been trying for the last couple of years now to figure out, is there a way to sort of unlock him, or is there a way to get him going in the right direction? That, you know, at first it was when they made the Jimmy Butler trade, it was, oh, Jimmy's this veteran guy. He's going to come in. He's going to help Andrew, yeah. and he's going to take some pressure off of Andrew. He's going to take some of the scoring load off of him. And the big thing that they brought up was, well, Jimmy's going to take on the toughest defensive assignment now, and that's going to take pressure off of Andrew. And it didn't happen.
No.
Andrew regressed. And then it became, well, is Jimmy Butler holding Andrew Wiggins back? Okay. Jimmy Butler, the whole drama thing comes up. Jimmy Butler gets traded. We start seeing more of the same thing with Andrew Wiggins. Then it became, well, is it coaching? Is you know, do they need to have a different coach, a different system for Andrew to play in? Okay, well, then they made the coaching change.
Yeah.
They fired Tom Thibodeau. Now it's Ryan Saunders. Now, Ryan is, I think, doing the best job he possibly can right now.
Yes.
With the way the roster is constructed. But we're still seeing the same inconsistent Andrew Wiggins night in and night out. And now it's at this point, it's like, okay, we've exhausted every option to try and get this kid going. Maybe this kid just is who he is.
Is who he is. Yeah, I think that's the fair assessment. But even if this is who he is, and let's say Derrick Rose, you decide to keep him, pay him some money, he wants to stay, that trio is not a contending structure in terms of the Rockets and the Warriors are who they are based on how they play. It's the talent, but it's also the way that they play.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that the Celtics can play with all those shooters. The way that the Sixers are limited because of Ben Simmons and what he can't do. He's a great player, but his limits hold that team back and will continue to do so. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee becoming that outside threat, working on his game to the point where he's more reliable. From when he started in the league, he was a guy who could only play around the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see a Giannis and you look at a Wiggins and go, it has to be possible to make improvements. And can a Ryan Saunders or Fred Hoiberg help him make those improvements? We'll find out. But you're not going to contend in this league without that composition to your team, without those shooters.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to beat the Golden State Warriors. You're not going to contend in the East if you don't have those teams. What you can do, though, is you can be a playoff team. You can be a playoff team without that makeup. The Pelicans last year beat the Trailblazers, and they had Anthony Davis. Swept them, and they had Anthony Davis and dudes who did not fit that, right? Guys who were limited. If you're the Timberwolves, you can make a run at the playoffs the way you're constructed right now. So for me, buying, selling, okay, you sell, but you're not that far removed from a race to get into the playoffs. I mean, to get in at that eighth spot, they're in there. They're in the mix. Now, if you buy a Marc Gasol, let's say,
mm-hmm.
How does that change what you're trying to do fundamentally as a team? My thought on this is you ride this out and you see what happens and you assess in the offseason. Because Towns and Wiggins aren't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's $55 million, whether you like it or not. And then everything from there feels like a mystery. You don't know if Ryan Saunders is going to be there. You don't know if they're going to be a GM change. You don't know if Fred Hoiberg comes in. You don't know what the offseason market is going to look like. But everybody's trying to catch the Warriors. Everyone's trying to be a team like the Rockets, where you get a guy who, it's not just that James Harden is really talented. It's how he plays. The NBA is all built on spacing and having to defend multiple players around the perimeter. And until you have that, you're going to be in that pack like the Timberwolves are, where you're trying to be that 8 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of bad nights and you can just as easily end up being 11.
Yeah, especially in the West.
In the West, especially. That's where you're at. So I think this is a team, they are who they are. And at their best, I think they can sneak into that pack. But I think it's a mistake. Unless you can get someone that comes and can stay, you know, and wants to be a long-term fit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to happen on the open trade market, I don't think.
Well, I think this offseason is going to be so huge for them. And I mean, I think even the next couple of weeks with the trade deadline coming up on February 7th, you know, you're going to have, depending on how they do over these next handful of games before the trade deadline, is really going to determine whether they are buyers or sellers. If they're right there in the mix, then they may be tempted to say, hey, okay, let's make a move to try and see if we can make a push for the playoffs.
Yeah.
But if they fall out of it, if they lose a few of these in a row here and they're out of it, then you're probably looking at either maybe selling off a Derrick Rose or Taj Gibson or something like that. The only thing is, Derrick Rose is really well liked in that locker room. Taj Gibson, really well liked in that locker room.
And you need him. I mean,
you need him. But I think going into this offseason, that's why this offseason is going to be so huge for them, because, you know, you've got to make a decision on, you know, is Ryan Saunders going to continue to be the coach? You got to make a decision on the front office. Is Scott Layden going to stay on as GM? Are you going to go hire a president of basketball operations? And there's a position, and we talked about this on Raised by Wolves earlier this week, Myron. The point guard position is going to be very, very vital, and they've got some decisions to make.
Yeah.
Because Tyus Jones is going to be a restricted free agent. Derrick Rose is going to be a free agent. Jeff Teague has a player option for $19 million for next season. Is he going to pick that up? We don't know. Conventional wisdom says he will pick it up because you don't just pass up $19 million, but he might be looking for long-term
another spot.
Security.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or he might just want to leave. Who knows? But you've got four guys, you know, and you got Jared Bayless too and an expiring $8 million. But you got four point guards on your roster right now. And one or all of them could be on another team next season.
Yep.
So you've got to figure out, the direction you want to go. Who do you want to bring back? Who would you like to bring back? Who do you not want to bring back? All of that stuff is going to have to be determined. And maybe some of those answers may be determined in the next couple of weeks before we get to the deadline too.
Yeah, I mean, it is a critical stretch because we're going to see what Ryan Saunders is going to have to work with down the stretch. You name three point guards. Derrick Rose, who is, you know, is getting love from around the league that he hasn't seen since his MVP season.
Mm-hmm.
Tyus Jones, who is still this young guy, who I still think we go, can you trust Tyus Jones as a full-time starting point guard in the NBA? And Tegas T costs a lot of money. Is he the guy going forward? You described a position that a lot of teams are not even employing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because who is the Houston Rockets point guard?
It's James Harden, basically.
Right? Who is the Golden State Warriors point guard? Is Kyrie a point guard? The NBA is shifting, mm-hmm. is my point.
Positionless.
And the NBA is a situation where just get your five best players on the floor. And that is the mindset that the Minnesota Timberwolves have to have going forward. So even if you sell, even if you try to get someone on the trade market, the mentality and philosophy has to be positionless basketball, has to be, okay, we're just trying to put five dudes on the court who can all be effective regardless of the position they're playing on offense or who they have to defend. That's going to be the biggest thing going forward. And that's where you could see to me an offseason where you hit the reset button and you try to surround Wiggins and Towns with players who fit that description.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ryan Saunders, to me, gets this team to the playoffs, you got to give him that job. If this team gets to the playoffs,
oh yeah, absolutely,
he has to keep that job.
No question, yeah.
But then I'll be interested to see if he keeps that job, will they give him the kind of folks, the kind of players and personnel? Can you go out and find those players who can compete in today's NBA, which has changed so dramatically that even teams that have legit post players and they've got legit traditional point guards don't know what to do with the Rockets, don't know what to do with the Warriors. Giannis is bringing the ball up the floor for the Bucks. What do you do with that? The kid's 6'11", 6'10", can do anything. He's bringing the ball up the floor.
I saw Nikola Jokic, the starting center for the Denver Nuggets, bringing the ball up in Utah the other night.
The game has completely changed And I think the biggest thing that has to change for the Timberwolves is mindset. I don't know if it's about Rose, Teague, Tyus Jones as much as it's about can you put someone in that position who can handle the ball and can be effective as a scorer and a defender? Do you have the right pieces? And that's what Jimmy Butler helped with this team because he was so versatile.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're looking at a Wiggins, I think the – I don't even know if it's a ceiling. The hope would be he becomes a much better shooter and becomes a much more a better threat from outside, because that would change the dynamic of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And then he becomes that sort of positionless defender that you can put on multiple players. That, to me, is the key. As much as everybody wants to get on Andrew Wiggins, the only hope is that he improves and expands his game.
Because it's going to be hard to move that contract.
He's not going anywhere.
I don't think it's impossible to move that contract, but it's going to be close. It's going to be really, really hard to just say, hey, you want Andrew Wiggins? Here, take him.
Yeah. No, but I don't think anybody's taking
you
up on that.
You just have to hope that he can develop something, continue to develop, and I just have my doubts on it at this point, because it just feels like we've exhausted so many different things about, you know, reasons why he's not developing.
Yeah.
And it's just at this point we've had, you know, coaching changes and players coming in and out that may have been, you know, that may have helped him, and then it turns out that they, you know, made him regress, and then those players are gone, and you think you bring in new guys and those guys will help him, and you change the system and all of that. And it just, at this point, it just has, we're still seeing the same Andrew Wiggins that we've seen for 5 years now in the league. He's in his fifth year in the league.
Yeah, people are tired. I mean, that's long enough.
Yeah.
They feel like you would see a significant change that we haven't seen, and I get all of that. I'm just saying, the makeup of the team compared to the evolving NBA is the biggest concern for me.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
Matching up against those teams that have 6'11 guys, even Joel Embiid can put the ball on the floor, step out, hit a three.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new NBA. And that's what you have to give a Ryan Saunders or a Fred Hoiberg, more players like that. We'll be back on Myron on Hoops.
Constant coverage on your phone, your computer, your smart speakers, your radio.
Hear that?
Feast your ears. ScoreNorth.com.
Myron Metcalf back here on Myron on Hoops with the one and only Manny Hill. Manny, I didn't know you were Tennessee basketball. Are you a Tennessee basketball fan?
I'm a Tennessee Vols fan, just
how'd that
through and through. Well, my dad is from Tennessee. I'm from here. I grew up in Minnesota my whole life, but my dad's side of the family is from Tennessee. My dad lives out in Tennessee now, southern part of the state, just outside of a city called Winchester. And so my dad's a big Vols fan, and it's more so Vols football than Vols basketball, but you know, but we still, like, my dad talks about, like, Pat Summitt and the Lady Vols basketball team and all of that stuff. Pat Summitt, he loves Pat Summitt, and now with the men's basketball team playing as well as they've been playing this year, it's
crazy.
It's been fun. It's been fun, because football didn't give us anything to cheer about this year. So
yeah, that wasn't as good. But basketball is great, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, and you probably know this, don't ever fight somebody from Tennessee.
I know.
nobody in a fight in Tennessee plays fair. Like, you think you're fighting one-on-one, and there's a dude with a chair behind you just waiting to let loose. Don't go to Tennessee.
They're going
to
sweep the leg.
Tennessee is not one of those places where you just go talking mess and talking trash. It'll be a bad time for you. Mm-hmm. Some great people down there.
Oh, yeah.
My brother lived down there for about 10 years. Great, mm-hmm. amazing people in that state. One of the greatest music states.
Oh, yes.
In the world.
Yes.
I mean, no matter what kind of music you like.
Memphis or Nashville.
Memphis and Nashville will take care of you. Amazing cities. Just don't pick a fight. Because there's a dude with a cowboy boot behind you waiting to bash you over the head. I'm just telling you, you don't want that problem. But Tennessee is a great story. Number one team in America. Held off Vanderbilt on Wednesday night in overtime. They got a kid, Grant Williams, who's the best, who I, you know, SEC Player of the Year. He's going to compete for Wooden Award, National Player of the Year. They got a guy in Admiral Schofield, a Chicago kid who has turned himself into a really great player, a bunch of really good role players. Rick Barnes is doing some of his best work. This is a Tennessee team that has a lot of blue-collar kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down there last week for a project I'm working on. And that place, man, is they're in love with basketball. Going to a game and seeing 20,000 people, I mean, it's amazing to be in a venue like that. But they don't have a bunch of one-and-dones or superstars. They don't have a bunch of guys who came in and were NBA ready. Grant Williams turned himself into a pro.
Because he was like a three-star kid,
yeah, he
right?
wasn't, and he had, you know, like 13, 14% body fat.
Mm-hmm.
Admiral Schofield was just another raw Chicago dude who put in the work, and now he's a pro. You know, Jordan Bone, all these pieces they have, these guys have just molded themselves into the best team in America. They have this amazing lounge that they just opened up in September in their locker room. Dude, Manny, they've got like a 90-inch TV. They've got this video game setup where they've got Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, I think is the latest one,
mm-hmm.
and PS4. They've got like arcade games like Golf Tee and all these other games. They've got the biggest locker room you've ever seen. They've got this gigantic fridge that has all the snacks they'd ever want. They've got this snack pantry.
Mm-hmm.
They've got leather seats all over the place. These guys live, man. They live well.
That's an SEC school for you,
man. They live well. But it makes me remember covering Tubby Smith way back in 2007. And I said, Tubby, how do you build this program at Minnesota? He said, oh, man, you know, they promised me some stuff. So there's some stuff coming, practice facility and some other investments and resources. Those resources that Tubby was promised, Richard Pitino's just gotten access to some of that stuff in the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
right? Tubby flew commercial. I don't know if people knew that. Tubby was on recruiting trips flying commercial.
Really?
So there were a lot of trips that Tubby was flying just like the rest of us. And I assure you, the best guys in this business, the top jobs in this business, they're taking charter jets everywhere. So Tubby was flying commercial a lot of times. He didn't have a facility. I remember a time when Lawrence Westbrook, a good player for the Gophers, once told me he was a leading scorer at the time. And Lawrence was like, man, I wanted to go shoot in the gym at midnight. His key thing didn't work. So, like, he had to call Tubby, who had to call the head of custodial services at the U of M, who then had to come and let Lawrence Westbrook in the gym.
Mm.
These teams that I cover for ESPN, they've had access to this stuff for a decade. These kids at Tennessee go in and shoot because not only do they have a lounge in their own arena, they got this great practice facility that's connected to the arena.
Yeah,
they can shoot whenever they want. Any time of day, the resources matter so, so much.
It's huge. In today's college sports, not just with basketball, I mean with football, too.
It's huge.
It's massive, yeah.
You can't compete, man. If I told you as an athlete, hey, you get to come here, but we don't have our own facility. And I know that's changed. They have that now.
Yep.
We don't have our own facility. We don't have this. We don't have that. But I'll take you to Tennessee, where they've got snacks and 90-inch TV and games, and the answer's simple, right, in terms of where mm-hmm. you want to play.
Yeah.
So Tubby would tell me about all the promises that were made and the promises that, you know, he didn't get what he was promised. Richard Pitino now has access to some of these things, the facilities, things like that. And anybody out there who thinks that Richard and these coaches have too much, you can't compete without these resources.
Right,
Richard Pitino cannot compete without access to a good pool of resources. But now that he has it, you know, it might be too late to really use those to his benefit. That's going to be the question. Does he have enough time? Can he buy himself enough time to use these resources to recruit some of these kids who can come in and help you build a Tennessee? Because here's the thing. You can build a Tennessee at Minnesota.
Yes.
You can get three and four star kids who just decide that they're not going to be satisfied being good, that they want to be great. You can go out and get the Jordan Bones of the world who were not on anybody's radar and just work them the way that Rick Barnes did and turn them into elite players. You can do that here.
And the thing of it is, too, the thing people have to remember, Rick Barnes is, I think he's in his fourth year at Tennessee now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he didn't inherit a program that was in terrific shape. They were coming off. They let Donnie Tindall go.
Sanctioned.
All kinds of sanctioned stuff going on because they fired Konzo.
Yep. Konzo left.
Konzo left.
Left for Missouri. Yep.
There was heat on him and everything.
For Cal.
He left. Yep. Yeah. He left for Cal and then he's now in Missouri. But then they brought in Donnie Tindall and that was just a disaster.
It was a disaster.
It was a disaster. And then Rick Barnes has stepped in and they go to the Sweet 16 last year, and this year the number one team in the country. I mean, it can be done, and it can be done fairly quickly, too, as Rick Barnes has shown.
Yeah, and you got to have guys who are devoted and committed.
Yeah.
Because now you have some resources behind you. Now you can keep up with the Joneses a little bit. You just got to get the right kids who can come in. I mean, that to me is the biggest thing in Minnesota. I've been here almost 20 years, man, in this state. And the one thing that has always bothered me about the state of sports here is that there is a blue-collar attitude where too many fans, I think, go, you should be satisfied with what you have. You don't need all these fancy gadgets. You should be content with what you have in front of you. And Tubby preached and preached, listen, the game is changing. I need more. Not because I'm trying to make myself look good, but because that's the only way to compete. Right? That's the only way to get the best of the best.
Yeah.
And I think that mindset is shifting gradually here. You know, you get the Viking Stadium, the Twin Stadium, you get these different resources. Football Now, Gopher Football has their facility. You realize how important it is. But just imagine if that had taken place 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, this is a university that's a decade behind because it took them that long to raise the money to build these modern facilities. I travel the country going to places that have had these facilities for years. And I'll tell you what, if you're Richard Pitino, even if you keep this job, you're behind the eight ball. It's hard to compete.
It's an uphill battle.
And that's the reality of Gophers basketball. In terms of they're just now catching up with what the other programs have had. Tubby Smith, I'll tell this story and then we'll go to break. Tubby Smith, we're at a press conference before a game, and he does this little scrum on the court at Williams Arena, right? So every pregame you come in, you talk to Tubby, and you just kind of huddle around him. We're doing it one day when I'm covering the Gophers for the Star Tribune. All of a sudden, this techno music starts blasting in Williams Arena. I'm talking blasting, Manny.
Okay.
And about 100 12 and 13-year-old girls run into Williams Arena, and they're throwing mats down, and they're screaming, woo! And they're flipping and twirling, and they got sparkles all over the place. We have no idea what's happening. If you can imagine the look that Tubby Smith had on his face. We don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out it looks like there's some sort of competition they're practicing for. And they're putting down their mats for their flips, and they don't care about us. So the woman in charge, Tubby, tells his sports information director at the time, Matt Sleater, poor Matt. He says, Matt, can you go tell that woman, Tubby says, Matt, can you go tell that woman if she can just turn down the music for a little bit and maybe keep it down just while we're doing this, we only need a few more minutes. So Matt goes over there, talks to her. Matt comes back. This is Tubby Smith, head coach of the University of Minnesota men's basketball program. Tubby, she said no. She said, it's our time in the gym. You all got to go. Tubby Smith got kicked out of Williams Arena by a 12 and 13-year-old all-star gymnastics practice. So when you talk about the practical elements of having your own facility, it's that. Tubby had to deal with some of those things. Richard, early on in his career, had to deal with some of those things that other coaches at elite levels don't have to deal with.
Yeah.
And that's why resources are so important. You don't get kicked out of the gym by teenagers doing gymnastics and flipping and stuff. Oh, man, you should have been there to see how mad Tubby was. We'll be back after this.
We're pinning our ears back. ScoreNorth.com.
Myron on Hoops here with Manny Hill. Talking hoops on another Friday, another great week here in the great state of Minnesota. Manny, who is on the list of, if there's a free-for-all, I mean, hypothetically, if there were a free-for-all, hypothetically, at the trade deadline, and Karl Towns was on the market.
Mm.
You had to give up Karl Towns. Who's on that list in terms of, like,
who I would want back?
No question. If I get them back, you can have Karl Towns. I mean, there's the Warriors. I mean, there's but not all of them, because I don't think Klay Thompson. I don't think you swap Klay Thompson for.
I don't swap.
You don't swap.
I love Klay, but
you don't take him for Karl straight up, do you?
No, I don't.
You take Steph.
I take Steph. I would take KD.
Take KD. You're not taking Draymond.
Nope.
Not straight up.
Nope. Not straight up.
You're taking James Harden?
Probably, yeah.
Taking James straight up.
Taking James Harden straight up.
You're taking LeBron.
Taking LeBron.
Even
taking
though he's
Anthony Davis.
You're taking AD. You're taking Giannis. Are you taking Giannis? You don't want Giannis?
I love Giannis. I probably would hold on to Kat.
You don't want Giannis.
And I love Giannis.
Manny, you don't want Giannis. You can have Giannis for Karl Towns.
I think if it's Giannis, if I'm taking Giannis back, I'd better prepare myself to, like, surround him with a lot of shooters.
Yeah.
I would probably take Giannis, but I would.
He's better than he was. I mean, he's more.
Yeah, but I would definitely need to surround him with a lot of shooters.
But that's fascinating, because it is a debate.
Yeah.
I mean, that shows you a lot about how big Karl Anthony Towns is and how much people believe in his future, okay?
Right.
You're giving him up for Giannis, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie?
Probably not. And I like Kyrie.
No Kyrie.
No, I'd probably say no to Kyrie.
Any of those
for
Celtics?
Kat, straight up?
Any of those Celtics?
No.
Tatum? No?
No. I love Tatum. But no.
Embiid. Joel Embiid for,
yes,
Karl Towns.
Yes.
No questions asked.
Yes, absolutely.
You're taking Embiid.
And I love Kat, but Embiid.
So the big man being hurt for the first 2 years of his career and possibly being Yao Ming 2.0.
But he's the real deal right now.
He's the real deal right now. But we don't know if his knees
are.
But we don't know if his knees are.
I think
his feet are.
I think he's held up okay, though, since last season, though.
You're taking Karl Towns. Manny's trading Karl Towns for Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons.
Probably not.
No Ben Simmons.
But I do love Ben Simmons.
It'd be hard to turn down Ben Simmons for Karl Towns.
But here's what scares me with Ben Simmons, though.
Can't shoot.
He just can't.
The Jenner family, the Kardashians.
He can't hit a shot outside of 5 feet.
And you have to deal with the Kardashians one way or the other.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother thing. But yeah, you're right. He's so limited. And you talk about it. The way we talk about Wiggins is basically how people talk about Ben Simmons in Philly.
Really?
How limited he... I heard Stephen A. Smith say that Ben Simmons could be LeBron James if he could shoot.
Yeah.
Like, Ben Simmons, you want to talk about a frustrated fan base.
Everything else. Everything else.
But, like, if you can't shoot...
That's a big deal.
That's like... I'm a great chef. I just don't know how to season the meat. I mean, okay, but that's kind of the thing. So you're not trading Karl Towns for Ben Simmons?
No. If Ben could shoot, Ben was a decent shooter, then yeah, probably.
Jimmy Butler?
No. No chance.
No chance, Jimmy Butler.
No.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Nope.
Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah, probably.
Straight up Kawhi?
Yeah.
For Karl?
Yeah.
You're certain about that?
Yeah. I think if Kawhi was, like, closer to, like, 30 or 31 years old, I would probably say no. But Kawhi's, what, 27-ish?
he might be actually a little, he might be 28.
28?
Yeah, he might be 28.
Maybe he turns 28 this year.
Sure not.
But I think that the thing of it is, though, it's a hard question to answer because it's a great question, but it's a hard question to answer because I think roster construction has a lot
That's
to
huge.
Do with
That's
it.
That's a big
and
part of it.
I think that if Cat is a huge piece to have and he's a great like prize to have
yeah,
because
definitely.
we know what he can do on the floor. But I think if you're going to trade him for a guy like a Giannis or a Ben Simmons or somebody like that, you got to surround him with shooters.
Yeah.
You got to surround those guys with shooters yeah. because they, you know, they're not shooters themselves. Now they can make plays for other people, yeah. but you've got to be able to spread the floor for those guys. And the Wolves, as they're constructed right now,
can't really do that.
They can't really do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest problem that you know, if you trade Cat for one of those guys, which obviously they're not going to do, but hypothetically, it would be it. That's those are the kind of things you'd have to think about.
Devin Booker,
no, for Cat straight up, no.
You don't want Devin,
no,
really.
And I like Devin Booker, but no,
I love Devin Booker, man.
I like Devin Booker, but.
You don't make that trade straight up.
I think there are guys. I think there are Devin Bookers that will come along this league. There are a lot of Devin Bookers that will come along.
You don't think he's that unique?
I don't think he's that unique. I think he's good. I think he's really good. I actually really like him a lot. But I think there are Devin Bookers. There will be Devin Bookers to be had that will come into the league over the next 4 or 5 years
yeah.
that you can get.
Kyle Kuzma.
No.
Dame Lillard.
I love Dame. I love
Dame. You got to take Dame.
I'm like the biggest Dame.
You got to take
Lillard
Dame.
Fan on the planet.
But you got to take Dame. Right?
I don't know if I would. I wouldn't trade Cat for him.
Think about what that says about Karl Towns, though.
I know.
That we're having a conversation
God,
about
I do love Dame
you
Lillard,
being
though.
Allowed to trade Karl Anthony Towns and get any player back in return. And we're going Dame. All-star, maybe not. Maybe you. It'd be hard to do that. It'd be hard to say Dame for Karl Towns, which
yeah,
says a lot about Karl and what
yeah.
and how good he is. Now this one I want you to think long and hard about.
Okay,
I want you to think long and hard about this one. Westbrook.
No.
Right? I'm not taking Westbrook either.
And the thing of it is
a lot of people think that's dumb. I bet people listening think that's dumb.
Well, a lot of people in Oklahoma City would probably think
right?
it's dumb. Here's the thing. I think Russell Westbrook is a better player than Karl Anthony Towns right now, but
you can't.
Russ is also 30 and
plays like a wrecking ball.
Yeah, and I just don't know. I don't know how much longer Russ is going to hold up with this. And I don't. The thing of it is Russ right now is not even the best player on his own team.
No.
Paul George has been ridiculous this year.
Paul is my next question. Because I think that, to me, is where you have a real issue. Because I think Paul...
If you tell me that...
You get Paul
If
George.
I'm getting Paul George right now, and if you can guarantee me that Paul George is going to be this Paul George for the next 3, 4, 5 years, then yes. I would trade Cat
over Karl Anthony Towns maybe being this for another 10 years, which is possible.
Sure. Yeah. But like Paul George is like right now, he's like
MVP level,
MVP candidate, defensive player of the year candidate right now. Like the Thunder would be for Russ and his numbers and averaging a triple double and all that stuff again, which I guess again he's doing this year. They would be nowhere without Paul George right now.
True.
They would be nowhere without him.
Healthy Porzingis.
No. I think Cat's better than KP. I think KP's good, but see, the injury things with him is
But I mean, with Embiid, to me, big men who are that big,
yeah,
you don't know when it's going to fall apart. But eventually it will.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does, they can't. Like Embiid, if it goes south like it did for Yao Ming, he's not coming back. I mean, that's
yeah.
like that's the problem. It's like it's such a taxing position mm-hmm. for big men, especially in today's NBA.
And that and the style that
I it's mean, different.
Joel Embiid plays a physical. I mean, he could step out and hit a three, but he does still play a physical style. Style of play. So you do wonder if how long he'll hold up. But, I mean, he's held up pretty good.
Yes.
The last, you know, last year he held up all right. Missed some games, but he held up all right for the most part. This year he's been all right. I think he's better than Cat.
Yeah, I mean.
I think he's better than Cat. He's the best center in the NBA right
he's
now.
He's great.
Yeah.
Long term, though, I mean, that's going to be the question.
It is, and it's a very fair question, yeah.
Donovan Mitchell.
I love Spider Mitchell, but
Spider Mitchell's the real deal, man.
I know, but no, I wouldn't trade.
Not trade him.
No,
Luka Doncic.
Why are you doing this?
Luka Doncic for Karl Anthony Towns, straight up right now.
Oh, Luka is serious.
I think you have to do it.
Luka is serious.
I think you have to do it.
I was at Target Center a couple of weeks ago when the Mavericks came in and. He was serious business.
You have to do it, I think, considering how what we've been talking about on the show, the composition of a team is what matters more than anything.
And
that's a big physical guard who can do a little bit of everything.
Make plays for other people.
He's a playmaker.
Versatile, yeah.
Manny, I think Karl Towns, if the Mavs said, here's Luka.
I would probably do it.
I think you would have to do it.
Yeah.
You would absolutely, I think, have to do it.
Yeah.
But we just went through a list of 15 guys, maybe, that we'd say, okay, we trade Karl Towns for them. But a lot of guys we were on the fence about. Like, I said all that to say, Timberwolves fans need to understand what they have. Because you've got a guy who is one of the premier talents, I think, in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And who you wouldn't give up. For some pretty good players. Klay Thompson, no way, keep him. Draymond Green, you can keep him.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons, you're not getting Karl Towns for him. And that, to me, when you talk about the Ryan Saunders versus maybe a Fred Hoiberg, the personnel moves, do you buy or sell? The Timberwolves are still in a position being a team where they've got a guy who can blossom into a top 10 player. Especially as this generation of aging guys goes out. I don't know where LeBron, I don't know post-injury LeBron. Is this the start of the end for LeBron, or is this just a hiccup? Chris Paul may never be Chris Paul again. I mean, there are a lot of players where we don't know how much longer they'll be able to compete at this level.
Yeah.
And Towns is in that category of he can slide into that being one of the best players in the league. One of those irreplaceable players. There just aren't that many people in the NBA that you would trade for Karl Towns. And if you're coming into this team, whether it's Hoiberg or someone else, that's a pretty good place to start. They got a lot of problems. The Williams contract is a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a bad thing to be starting with a guy like Karl Towns in terms of who he really is, because I think it gets lost sometimes how good he is compared to the field. Karl Towns is on that elite level, and you may not hear about him the way you hear about some of these other guys, but the real conversation is who would you trade him for? And right. You wouldn't trade him for more than maybe 12, 13 guys straight up in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those guys, that's based on you knowing that you're going to get the same production out of them for the next 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Because that conversation changes if, hey, LeBron, we don't know what's coming with him, and maybe this is his last good year. So be happy you got Karl Towns, man. Celebrate that you got Karl Towns. And thanks for joining Manny Hill and I on Myron on Hoops. We'll be back next week.